from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is, in fact, the Craig Needles podcast. It's an unusual Thursday episode, but we're post-election, so we're doing some extra analysis here on the Craig Needles podcast this week. Of course, it is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London, and you can find us at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca. And we are thrilled to be joined here in the studio today by one of our brand new city councillors, Susan Stevenson, councillor for Ward 4, councillor-elect, I should say, for Ward 4, joining us here at the Classic Rock 98.1 Studios to have a conversation. Susan, thank you very much for doing this. We appreciate you here.
Thank you for the invite. Glad to be here.
So we will start with the fact that you have just won an election. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How did it happen? What do you think was the difference for you in this race?
I think I started early and I was on the ground doing it full time for 3 months, talking to the people.
Yeah. And you talked to at least 1,064 of them, because that's the number of people who voted for you. Interesting race, though. It was a unique race. You wind up winning with, 28.34% of the vote, which is obviously a smaller total than normal, but there was a pretty heavy vote split amongst you and a few other candidates. So what do you think that means for the way you represent Ward 4? Because obviously there's going to be 60-ish percent or 70-ish percent of the people in the ward who voted did not vote for you. How do you represent those folks? How does that work for you, do you think, once you start this job as the next city councillor for the ward?
Well, I think a couple of things. I don't think that just because people didn't vote for me means that they voted against me. And the 28%, I don't think that's unheard of either. There's been other councillors that have had lower percent that have gone on to be great councillors.
That's true.
And the low voter turnout, I don't know what it was specifically in Ward 4, but assuming it was 25% like everywhere else.
Yeah, let's say it's about roughly that.
Then my 28% was about 7% of eligible voters, and the other 60% was 14%.
Right.
We're still not representing the majority of the voters in Ward 4, so we really don't know.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And the voter turnout thing, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that obviously is kind of a worrying trend, to say the least. Here's what I'll say about it. I know that there was the commentary online and elsewhere that, oh, well, this is not what the majority of the ward wanted, blah, blah, blah. At some point, you got the most votes. And I don't love first past the post. I'm not a big fan of it myself, but you got the most votes, so therefore you won. So I just have a hard time calling that the wrong result, because what other result would you have wanted? Like, if we were doing ranked balloting, okay, yeah, but that's just not what this election was. And you may have campaigned differently if we were doing ranked balloting. Others may have campaigned differently.
It wasn't
right?
a surprise, the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like we decided to change how we count at the last second.
Yeah.
So that being the case, what issues were the most important to people in Ward 4 when you were talking to them? You talked to a bunch of them. What kept coming up?
Yeah, I think a lot of them were the same as across the city. There's a lot of traffic concerns. Our roads are not great, and so people are cutting through the residential areas and trying to make up for lost time. So speeding on the side roads is a big concern. Mm-hmm. Traffic safety. The core area, the homelessness and the survival of those business districts.
Yeah.
Really important.
Well, let's talk about Dundas east of Adelaide, right? Because that's going to be one of the big spots, and I'm sure it's a spot a lot of people mentioned to you. We've got a lot of residential going not too far from there, coming in and buildings coming online, which phenomenal. I love that.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be some questions about how do we make that area better? How do we make it a place that more people want to go to? What do you think of that? What do you think the answer is there?
Yeah. Well, it's a complex answer for sure. But right now we have everyone's losing. The homelessness population's increasing. The businesses are really, really struggling and the communities are suffering. So everyone's losing at the moment. And I don't think we can solve the problem by looking at one in isolation. I think we get to look at the whole picture of it. And as each one wins, we all win in that area. So somebody had shared with me a while ago a documentary called Beyond Homeless, which is what they did in San Antonio, Texas. And there they invested $100 million and 22 acres, but they've been transforming lives at scale, dealing with the mental health, the addiction, trauma, life skills. And the surrounding area is safer than it was before that campus went in. Mm-hmm. So those are results.
Yeah.
And right now, I think we can all say, or I can say at least, good intentions have created bad outcomes. Whatever it is we're doing, there's something we're doing that's not working.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it comes back to, and I've said this on this podcast before, social assistance rates are way too low. And that kind of speaks to what you're talking about with San Antonio there, where, you know, there's actual money involved and people don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. And all of a sudden when that happens, less crime.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Well, we have a lot of money in London. Yeah. I think we could privately fund something. It's just no one's going to invest in what we're doing right now.
Right. Yeah. And I think that there's definitely some private sector solutions that come in here. There's just, and housing, that's the other thing. People are going to be better off if they have a place where they can call their home and they can go and live there and feel safe. And we do not have enough spaces like that for someone who is at the bottom end of the income scale right now. We just don't.
Yeah. And I knocked on doors. I mean, it's a real fear for people that they feel insecure in the housing that they have, some of them, because if they're renting at a low rate, you know, they're concerned that at any point they could get noticed that they need to move.
Yeah, you got to be out of here by whatever.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I knocked on one door and it was a family of four that had been renting for 12 years at $1,200 a month, and they've been given to December 31st to get out. They can't afford the going rate if they can even find a place.
Right.
That's a lot of stress on a family.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it would be. Yeah, it's a unique ward, I think, as well, from a variety of perspectives as far as you mentioned, you know, homelessness and addictions. And those things exist in every single ward in the city. But there is concentrations, I think, in wards 13 and ward 4. So do you think that comes up more doors for in your ward than it would have in some other places, do you think?
I would think so. I'm speculating because I only knocked. If fair it didn't enough. Happen between Adelaide and Highbury, I haven't been paying attention.
You're not sure, yeah. That's fair. What else?
Highbury Hale. I should say it goes a little bit further.
Yeah. What else then would you say was a key issue? Clearly, there's those economic issues. Is there anything else that came up frequently when you were doing door knocking?
It was really homelessness, housing, and the speeding for sure. And we can talk about the low voter turnout.
Yeah,
but let's talk about what came up a lot at the doors too was loss of faith in the system, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one woman say to me, you know, because I would knock on doors and say, what is it that matters to you? What are you looking for in your next city councilor? And she looked at me and said, you know, I could ask you the question, and even if you give me the answer I want, I don't believe you'll actually do it.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand it. I said to people a year ago, I threw up my hands and said, it's a lost cause. Like, I don't even want them. And then here I am running. So that's what I said to them. I understand because I was there. And here I am running now. Yeah. Why? Because what happens if we all give up?
Yeah. Then what's it like? Yeah.
Then what's it like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally understand that. And I will say to you and to anyone who put their name on the ballot for this past election, I appreciate you doing that because it's hard. It's not easy. And I'm glad that there were people that were willing to do it, even though the voter turnout is not what we wanted. So how do we get those 75% of people who disconnected from this outcome to actually care about it is my question for you.
I think we restore faith, right? Mm-hmm. We got to give them a reason. I had so many people say to me, you give me results, I'll vote for you next time.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I said, I'm counting on that in 4 years, right? I'm going to do it. Will they actually believe one more time that the person will actually do what they say they're going to do? And that's what I said to some of the people, right? Give me one more chance. Vote for me. You know, what have you got to lose? If you've lost faith, you've lost faith. Then what's one more chance, right? We could get a real person in who really wants to serve, who's going to do what the people want and doesn't have their own personal agenda. What if that's possible?
Well, and here's the thing about sort of disconnecting from the system. Someone is going to be the city councilor for Ward 4. So you may not necessarily, like, so you have this one opportunity to influence who that's going to be, but it's not like, oh, if I disconnect from the system, then the system goes away. No, the system's still going to be there. You've got to kind of work within it, right?
So, yeah.
Let's talk about political views. There were some that were critical, including the outgoing Ward 4 Councillor, Jesse Helmer, about your connections and or donations to the People's Party of Canada. What's your response to criticism of that? Do you think that that is something that if more Ward 4 voters were aware of, they may not have voted for you? How did that fit into the way you campaigned?
I don't really know. I think, you know, I find it interesting, and we see this a lot now, I think. And you talk about Jesse, the Ward 4 councillor. Mm-hmm. I mean, making statements, sending out something that says on the top line, tell all your friends not to vote for Susan Stevenson, after never having had a conversation with me. I booked two meetings with him in July or August. They were both canceled and then tried to reschedule, no follow-up. You don't want to, like, call me up and say, hey, what's with this? Mm-hmm. And get some information or background before you make conclusions on people. I think there's a lot of that that goes on right now. He's not unique. Mm-hmm. But I think we get to look at that. Why are we looking for reasons to be divided? Why are we making assumptions on a person's character based on a donation?
What was it about the People's Party of Canada that made you want to donate money to them?
Well, at the time, and I don't know if you have time for the story.
Let's hear the story. People want to know.
I wasn't involved in politics at all. Mm-hmm. And then I went to see the documentary Knock Down the House that Peggy Sattler put on at the Highland in mm-hmm. May of 2019. I loved it. All of these women, different women. I don't know if you know the documentary.
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, AOC was in it, which I think mm-hmm. helped the popularity of it. Mm-hmm. But it was more than just her. There was at least five or six women who were decided to run for office, knowing nothing about politics, having no experience, that were running on a mission and a purpose. And there were these groups that were figuring it out, sitting around dining room tables, figuring out how to make a hanger, how to knock on doors. And it was really inspiring. And I went home that night and I said to my husband, I think I get to do more than vote this year.
Okay.
And so that night, when I got home, I looked up, because I had voted conservatively in the past. Mm-hmm. I looked up my conservative candidate. He looked great. He was a professor at the university in political science. So I sent him a message saying, I'll volunteer in your campaign. I signed up for a 10-year membership with the Conservative Party, having never joined mm-hmm. a party before. But I thought, 10 years, I'm not going to change.
Sure.
Got the little app that said I could volunteer. And I pictured myself, you know, stuffing envelopes one night with some people. And, you know, within the course of a couple of weeks, he was denied the Conservative nomination at the last minute, mm-hmm. said he was going to go with the People's Party. I was like, never heard of them. Mm-hmm. Looked it up, and their principles were freedom, personal responsibility, respect, and fairness. And I thought, sounds good to me.
Salim Mansour. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, okay. And I know Salim. I've talked to Salim before. Maxim Bernier's association with things, you know, such as the convoy. Where do you stand on, you know, the convoy situation? Did you sympathize with those people? Did you get annoyed with those people? Where did you fall on that? Just, you know, based on Bernier's association.
Well,
with
I was
it.
In Texas when all that happened, okay. But you know, I admire people who will get involved, right? There's so many people, even with the voter turnout, that said, I want a box on there that says none of the above. Well, that's one solution. Mm-hmm. The other solution is to get involved, get off your chair and support the people that you believe share your own beliefs. So with the Freedom Convoy, I don't know, it becomes a big complex thing I don't really want to get into.
Well, there were a variety of political beliefs within the convoy, is something I'm
right,
I'm
yeah.
more
but
than
to be against
to
freedom, yeah. I mean, now all of a sudden it's weird. It's like we're making freedom to be like a bad word, you know, you can have too many Canadian flags. So I understand, but I think all of this fear-based thinking is an issue. I think we get to be less afraid and more curious.
Okay. There's been a lot of conversations about, you know, where does London need to develop, and can we have a city that's sort of more intensified with active transportation and things along those lines? Where do you stand on where development should or shouldn't be in the City of London?
Well, I think intensification is important, you know what I mean? And getting walkable neighborhoods, I think, is a great idea. Getting close to transportation, for sure.
Okay. Development on the outskirts of the city, that people would call that sprawl. Is that something that you would call it? Would you judge that on a case-by-case basis? How do you feel about sort of development sort of in the – not like outside of Ward 4, obviously, because any development within Ward 4 is going to be intensification.
Yes.
But what the outskirts of the city?
Well, I think, you know, inside is better than outside, mm-hmm. and it's a complex thing that I still get to learn a lot about.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a learning curve. You'll be mm-hmm. one of eight new councillors. What do you think that learning curve is going to be like?
Fast.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of urgent problems, right? Like we don't have a lot of time when it comes to homelessness. Winter is coming, and businesses, I don't know how much longer they can survive downtown when no one feels safe to go down.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that where people do not want to come to the core. Disclosure, live in the core, work in the core, walk to and from work every day. I feel pretty safe walking through the downtown core, but I understand that my experience as, you know, white guy can handle himself in his 30s is going to be different than a lot of other people's experiences there. So I get that there's going to be some different conversations about what the core is like. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you about the other counselors that have been elected, either people who were there before, people who are there. I mentioned you tried to talk to Jesse Helmer. Are there any other counselors you've had dialogue with, conversations with about sort of what the job will be like, or any other new counselors like yourself who have been recently elected you've had a chance to chat with since Monday night?
Quickly. I mean, it's all been fast and furious, say, the last couple of days. But Sean Lewis has been very supportive, and he's already tried to get Peter Cuddy and Hadley at McAllister and he and I out to talk about the East End issue. So he's been right on it right away. Had a nice call with David Ferreira yesterday. So we're committed to Lincoln Arms over the core issues, right, from downtown through the Old East Village. And he and I have very different ideas.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to be, I get to look at it that we're going to have an even better result with he and I because we're going to
look at it from multiple
both sides,
perspectives.
Right? Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's what people want to see from their counselors is obviously if you look at campaigns and look at campaign material, you and David have a different opinion on a wide number of issues. Mm-hmm. But we mentioned wards 4 and 13 sort of being the spots where homelessness and addictions and things along those lines are going to be the biggest issues. So you're going to have that in common and you're going to kind of have to work together on some of the stuff. And I think I really do believe that's what people on the outside want to see is, okay, these two people don't necessarily agree on this or this, but they're willing to work together on that. You know what I mean?
I do. And there's no coincidences. I think this is the way it went down because David and I both ran clean campaigns. Neither one of us got into mudslinging on the others. And he and I actually met. He knocked on my door because I live in Ward 13.
Okay.
And he knocked on my door early on and we met and took a picture and said, we're going to, you know, be together, new voices on council. And so he and I had a great talk yesterday and we're looking forward to, we're both committed to creating results and to working together and it being a pleasant experience and something that people can maybe get and enjoy watching and getting involved in rather than turning it off because there's so much negative out there.
Last thing, you talked a little bit about you have concerns over funding bike lane projects when we have homelessness issues going on, which obviously homelessness issues are significant and need to be funded. Have you thought more about that? When it comes to, you know, which pots of money each of those things may come out of? Do you still have concerns about the funding of certain bike lane projects when those homelessness issues are going on? What's your thought on that issue?
I do because it's all one taxpayer.
Right.
And yes, you know, that thing, I did understand the different pools and it wasn't sort of a logical argument I was making at that time. But, you know, I heard overwhelmingly people against the cycling lanes and for various number of reasons. And I heard it loud and clear. And I understand it's not, you know, politically popular. And I said I'd be a voice for the people.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, in the city of London, there are folks, and I sympathize with them. I think that they're right that hey, we need to have more non-vehicle ways to get around, or safer non-vehicle ways to get around. And I'm a pedestrian in my commute to and from work, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
However, I also understand when someone says, "Well, our bigger issue is the fact that there's a whole lot of poverty in the city. We've got to do something about it."
And even if we're talking transportation, our bus system does not work well. And from what I understand, we could do a whole lot better for pedestrians as well.
I think that that's fair to say, as someone who is going to walk through 6 construction sites on my way home today. Yeah,
so I think there are other solutions to help active transportation or to get people out of cars.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I think that's all the questions I had for you. Susan, is there anything else that you wanted to add or chat about or let me know about or something that you want to highlight sort of before you you take on the job in a couple of weeks here?
Just I'm grateful, humbled, honored, excited, and it's not going to be easy, but I think that the alternative is harder, right? Like some of the complex issues that we face are challenging ones, but I think it's easier to take on the challenge than it is to deal with the consequences of not doing it.
There you go. Susan, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Hope we get to do this again.
We will do it again very soon, I hope as well. Susan Stevenson, the incoming councillor for Ward 4 here in the City of London, fresh off of her election victory on Monday night. And that is all the time we have here on the Craig Needles Podcast, which is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warncliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. Luxury defined. Pick out yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London. You can find more of this podcast at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca, plus on your favorite podcast app. Roundtable Roundtable tomorrow. We're going to do an all-council edition of the Roundtable tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to be joined here in the studio by Sean Lewis, by Elizabeth Pelosi, and by Skylar Frank. So looking forward to chatting with the three of them about what was going on during the election. We'll talk about that voter turnout problem, too. So that's coming up on tomorrow's edition of the Craig Needles Podcast.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.